Yeah, welcome and good morning to Andrew Kopolov. I hope I pronounced that correctly. So Andrew is a designer and researcher with an interest in the social value of infrastructure. And you're currently looking into ways we can support the rights of delivery riders and rideshare drivers. So welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Well, thank you. Just quick. Yeah, all good. Sorry, just I didn't get the... Yeah, all good.
Mic's all on. Sorry, we're having a bit of technical difficulties in the studio this morning, but it's good to have you on the show, Andrew. Why don't you just tell listeners, it's really exciting research you're doing. Tell us a little bit about your research and what you're investigating.
For sure. So my research has been on mostly on precarious work. So it started from a sort of ongoing interest of mine in logistics and the people who work in logistics, you know, these kind of unseen workers who are responsible for sort of taking things all around the world, basically the global supply chain. So it came about looking into that and thinking about logistics workers in the city who are primarily, it's the food delivery riders. So yeah, looking at them and sort of considering them as a group who are very much underserved and who have no real space or amenity. So yeah, trying to think about how the city could be designed a bit differently to better accommodate their needs.
Yeah, great. Jacob, did you have a question?
Yeah, so I guess the next kind of question I want to sort of is what kind of inspired you to kind of organise this project? Like, you know, maybe some of the kind of lived kind of experiences that you might have had.
For sure. Well, I have to say that though I have been doing food delivery work for a few months now, and in previous projects I have done other things like... I spent a week on a container ship, which is an interesting thing, but this primarily, it's a kind of research-oriented thing for me rather than explicitly lived experience. So I do, however, think there's an important role for sort of researchers to engage with these kind of issues and to kind of not only to research them, but also, like we are now, to communicate them to broader publics, yeah.
Actually, going back to the first question about, why you're doing this research, so far have you, what does the design of say, Melbourne City or cities in general around the world, how do they impact migrant workers migrant gig workers?
Sure. So the fact of the matter is, there's no real space or amenity. That's kind of the most glaringly obvious aspect of this. And it's things like, you know, when I speak to delivery riders about where to go to the toilet or something, it's shopping centres or it's sort of making do with what you've got. But the issue is, you know, maybe it's a toilet in a public park. However, after a certain time of day, those options are all shut and these people are still working. So... you know, in dire situations, that's where people might have to go to the toilet on the street or something like that.
And then they get a fine and
exactly,
can't afford it.
Exactly.
And that kind of brings us into kind of like the kind of demand for delivery riders' kind of staff rooms. And I guess, can you tell us about this kind of test run / launch of the staff room, like when and where and how do people get in kind of involved and support?
Sure. So the Gig Workers Hub is the sort of initiative that I'm speaking about specifically, and next week we're going to have a Melbourne Gig Workers Meetup as part of that, and this meetup will be running from Monday the 8th of May until Sunday the 14th of May. And that will be at Testing Grounds, which is a fantastic cultural institution running out of the Queen Victoria Market. So we'll be there all day, from 1 p.m. until 7 p.m. each day. And there'll be free food. There'll be the capacity to charge your batteries. There's plenty of information from different sources in different languages. That will be about things like Visa or ABN. But also there's going to be some really interesting other initiatives there. So we've got JobWatch coming in, who are an employee legal service, and they're offering free legal aid on Thursday afternoon from 2 p.m. So as well as that, we've got the Gig Worker Support Service, which is a new initiative run by the Victorian State Government. So they'll be coming to start opening up that initiative. Yeah.
I want to kind of ask a bit, because I think a few more kind of questions have sort of come to mind, is, I guess, in terms of, like, this sort of trial, is there kind of, like, do you kind of, what do you kind of see, like, is there kind of a kind of, do you see this sort of playing a role in terms of putting kind of pressure on political kind of institutions to potentially sort of adopt this? Because I guess one thing to kind of think about is, you know, logistically, if you create a kind of demand for some kind of service like this, you know, there is an obvious sort of, there's an obvious suggestion of what institution would be able to cover it. Like, for example, should local councils or state governments actually be putting funding into addressing these things? Mm. And I guess also possibly the other thing is, you know, more broadly, how do you see this kind of experiment as being part of kind of like a broad, do you see this sort of thing as being part of a kind of broader campaign for delivery rider rights, because, you know, they are probably one of the more heavily kind of exploited workforce in the kind of workplace. They you know, were kind of told that their, you know, delivery riders are their own boss, but they actually face some of the worst kind of exploitation.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot in that. So thank you. So just to reiterate what you're saying at the end there, yeah, delivery riders and rideshare drivers are classed as independent contractors, right? That's the terminology that they use. Or some of these companies, the platform companies, also talk about them as delivery partners or something like that. You know, very equal footing. Yeah, right. So being classed as an independent contractor means that you don't get the same rights as an employee. It means you don't get super, you don't get sick pay, and it also means that there's no right to collective bargaining. So I guess that comes back to what you were saying about the pressure and which other actors might be involved. So, yeah, to reiterate, the ambition of this project is to establish a network of permanent staff rooms, permanent spaces in the city, in central Melbourne. And to do that, as you say, of course, we'll need support from various local, possibly even state actors in government. Now, it's worth mentioning that the City of Melbourne have given me a small grant to help run this event next week, which is really fantastic, and it shows that there is some recognition on the part of these different organizations, different groups, that something needs to be done here. As I mentioned, also the state government have put up this gig worker support service. And the other factor is the Transport Workers Union, so of whom I'm a member, and they're doing excellent work in helping to represent gig workers from delivery, from rideshare, and from courier industries. And in spite of that, so all of these things need to be done in order to need, all of these actors need to be involved in order to ensure that the rights and the conditions of workers are improved. But that being said, this focus that we have on sort of space and culture is another thing that's really important and that seems to go perhaps a little bit under the radar when it comes to this discussion of how to improve things. Just to explain a bit further the need for that, it's one thing to improve conditions and, you know, to get beyond minimum wage. Mind you, most people doing this work, 57% are getting paid under minimum wage. So it's one thing to improve that, and of course that's essential and vital, but that doesn't necessarily make the work any less alienating. Mm. So this specific project is trying to address isolation and alienation of gig workers.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic project and research you're part of because, yeah, when you think about it, they don't have any one place where they can unite and share their experiences and organise for better conditions. So, you know, we really hope that these staff rooms, these delivery rider staff rooms actually become permanent things for gig workers because, you know, some of them have died on the roads. It's actually really dangerous work. The fact that you're, you know, promoting things like fixing lights and things, I mean, these are all safety, you know, if they're driving at night without lights because they don't have a chance to fix it, I mean, it's a really good opportunity to do that and, yeah, meet with other workers. It's a good thing the unions are involved as well. Mm. Did you have any other questions before we wrap up the interview, Jacob? Or
not at this stage, yep.
Well, you know, for listeners again, it's going to be from Monday, May the 8th until Sunday, May 14th at the testing grounds at Melbourne's Queen Victoria market from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. So you can meet Andrew there and hopefully, you know, we can spread the word to other gig workers and have them meet you there. But before we wrap up the interview, is there anything else you would like listeners to know about?
I guess I'd just say that these workers deserve dignity and it's important that... The other thing to mention is that this type of work, this casualization, it's not just about gig workers, right? Like, every kind of industry is facing working... You know, this is... In some respect, the image of a dark future that we might all face. I mean, yesterday it was the university staff striking about casualization.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say that gig workers deserve dignity and people ought to remember that it's maybe not too far from home. Yeah,
that's a great way to end the interview. And really, thank you for coming into the studio to tell us about this. You'll find the links to this when we put up the podcast of this show. And, yeah, thanks once again, Andrew.
Thanks a lot for having me. Cheers.